I'm really jumping into a new series today that we're just going to keep working all the way through Easter, and I know you're inviting your friends, and even last Sunday we started writing names on the wall out here in our lobby of people that we want to invite for Easter Sunday. When you go out, you're going to see dozens and dozens of names on the wall. If you missed that opportunity last Sunday, please take advantage of that today. The only time you're ever going to be permitted to write on a wall. But there's hosts out there that can help you and make sure that you have a Sharpie. But write those names on the wall. These are people that I'm inviting to be my guest on Easter and even Sundays following Easter. This is going to be a wall of fame, Jesus fame, of people's lives that are being changed and people's homes that are being turned around and just the difference that is being made in someone's life because he's just that good. Is anybody thankful for the goodness of the Lord? He was that good to you, and he wants to be that good to someone else. And so we're going to preach about some of that the next couple of weeks, and even on Easter, just talking about the goodness of the Lord. But I want to read in John chapter 2 today, and I'm going to read a few verses of Scripture to open up this story. I'm not going to try to unpack all of them. I just need a few moments to just really convey what I feel on my heart. John chapter 2, beginning at verse number 1. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water," and they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, he did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew. Master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." This beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee, and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. I want you to notice verse number 10. Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then comes the inferior. But you have kept the good wine until now. Just look at your neighbor and tell him, "Neighbor, give me the good stuff. I want the good stuff." Father, I pray that you would bless your word today on Miracle Sunday. Somebody in this room is expectant. Someone in this room is hopeful. Someone is anticipating and needing today. I pray that you would be exactly what we need today. Be the physical healing, Lord. Be the financial breakthrough. Be the relationship mending. Go ahead, Lord, and take care of every broken place in every life today. We thank you, Lord, that you are the good stuff, and that's exactly who and what we want today. We pray it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. I'm honest with you today. I've always loved this story. John is my favorite book of the Bible, and I go back and back and back and back again to the book of John. I love the detail with which John writes. I love the things that he thinks to include that are often unique from the other gospel writers. I just love how John tells the story. And of course, we take note here of Jesus' first miracle, because it is the first miracle, or the first, that sets a precedence for all that are going to follow. We know that Jesus is going to perform many, many, many miracles. In fact, the Bible tells us that, you know, we don't even have really any idea. These are just highlights, if you will. When you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then John's gospel and telling of the story through his eye, we really have no idea how many miracles. It's just a sampling, if you will, the highlights. There was not ink enough. There was not paper available enough to tell everything that Jesus did and everything that he said. We know that he's going to do many, many miracles, so it makes the first one even more important. It's interesting that his first miracle is about turning water into wine. Like I said, he's going to do many, many miracles. He's going to heal blind eyes. He's going to heal those who are lame and unable to walk. He's going to cleanse lepers. He's going to heal and deliver those who are demon-possessed. I mean, so many different miracles that Jesus is going to do, and yet the first miracle did not even deal with a physical disease or a spiritual condition. That's important to note. It didn't deal with a physical disease or a spiritual condition. The first miracle of Jesus dealt with the limitations of humanity. Limitations of humanity. The first miracle, it was not physical, it was not spiritual, like so many of those that will follow would be. But the first miracle is mental and it is emotional. I just need a minute to work this out. Because Jesus is trying to teach everyone at this wedding, and certainly all of us that are reading the account in John chapter 2, he's trying to teach us that he cares about our lives. If it matters to you, then it matters to God. If it is important to you, then it is important to him. You see, someone had made a mistake at this wedding. Someone miscalculated how many guests were going to be there and how much food and drink they needed to have on hand. Or maybe they miscalculated how much their uncle was going to drink. Or maybe these disciples just aren't quite saved, and they got invited, but nobody realized how much they were going to imbibe. Someone made a mistake. It almost feels familiar to me in this season, because we feel so limited and everything is out of control in our world right now, and we just stand looking at the stack of papers. We just stand surveying the circumstance and the challenge and the difficulties that are out in front of us, and we just feel limited. I don't know what to do. They didn't teach me about this in school. They didn't prepare me for this as a kid. College had no concept of what life was going to bring in 2022, and I feel limited in my circumstance. I just don't know what I am to do. It's the limitations of humanity. I even believe that the first miracle is dealing with the stigma of shame and embarrassment. Because to run out of wine meant that this couple would forever be known as the couple who didn't have enough. It makes me wonder this morning how much of our worry stems from the fear of shame or the feeling of not being enough or not having enough. Have you felt inadequate lately? Have you felt like you don't measure up? Have you felt like you just can't keep up with everything that is pulling and demanding in our lives right now? We feel lost in this new, crazy, and chaotic world. I mean, we're far beyond material things. We learned a long time ago that we couldn't keep up with the Joneses. We learned a long time ago that we couldn't keep up with our neighbors. Now it's about our sanity, and we're just trying to feel saved at this point. Can I just encourage you to hold on today, because there is hope coming to you. There is hope for you, regardless of whether you are feeling inadequate, regardless of whether you are feeling lost. I've risen on this April Sunday to tell you that Jesus is enough for every single one of us. Do you believe that today? So if the first miracle is teaching us about limitation, the first miracle is teaching us about God's heart for us, because wine is symbolic of joy. When the wine runs out, then the joy runs out too. The fear that we live in is that we will run out of joy. You know, our circumstances are going to change, and all of the things that we once found joy in are going to be gone. Or maybe a season in our lives will change and our joy will run out. Maybe those have been your feelings lately, that all the good stuff has run out and all the good things are over. But can I tell you today that with God, the good isn't gone? That's what the first miracle is teaching us, that with God, the good isn't gone. Let me give you some Bible for this today. You've got Job, who lost everything. Let me encourage you, Job, to hold on, to live with expectation, because the end of your life is going to be better than the beginning of your life. Or maybe Samson. Have you ever met Samson in the scripture? I know he made many mistakes. I know he had a lot of problems in his life. He fumbled the ball more times than we really know. But hear me today. The Bible tells us that Samson's best victory wasn't his first victory. It was his last victory. I'm trying to tell someone today that it doesn't matter how it started. What is important is how it's going to end for you. It doesn't matter the years you wasted. It doesn't matter all of the time that you lost. What matters is that you're in the presence of the Lord today, and everything can be reset, and everything can be made brand new. and everything can turn in your life if you will believe that he's just that good. We're not pining for the good old days. I hear that a lot lately. Oh, if we just had the good old days. We don't have the good old days, whatever they were. What we have are today's. What we have is right now. What we have is breath in our body to live and to serve and to do what God has called us to do. You can wake up every day mad about every circumstance and every issue and every challenge that's swirling in the world, in our community, or even in your life. Or I can wake up with the right perspective. I've got breath in my body one more day. That means I'm not going to lament or be negative or be overwhelmed or curse or be angry at. I'm just going to say, Lord, I'm going to walk into my purpose today. I'm going to walk in your plan today. I'm going to walk in your call today that you've placed over my life. So the first miracle teaches us that with God, the good isn't gone. Here's what else it teaches us. It teaches us that what we believe about the future affects how we handle the present. What we believe about the future affects how we handle the present. You see, how I handle the present is affecting what I will experience in the future. That's why I have to keep the right perspective. If you believe all the good wine has been served, then an ending will wreck your life. If you believe all the good has run out, then when crisis comes, it flips you upside down. Losing a job will flip you upside down. Losing a relationship will flip you upside down. A business closing will flip you upside down. But if you believe that God still has the good stuff ahead, then an ending will not shake you. I wish I had time to work this, but I feel like it could help somebody in this room, because endings, they're going to do one of two things. They're either going to draw you back or propel you forward. What you have to determine is the enemy wants to draw you back. He wants to recluse you. He wants to isolate you. He wants to backslide you. He wants to defeat you. But God is all about moving you forward. What do you want to do? Do you want to fall back or do you want to move forward? As for me and my house, it's all about moving forward. As for me and my life, it's all about moving forward. I don't know who I'm preaching to on this Miracle Sunday, but someone in this room is being called to go a little farther. Don't hang back. Don't slide back. Don't lose out. Move ahead toward the good that God has for you. I refuse to die here. I refuse to quit now. I refuse to throw in a towel. I want the good stuff. I want the good stuff. I want the good stuff. Can we talk just a moment about Mary? Mary is so important to this story. She's the mother of Jesus. Obviously, she has been there to raise him and to steward his formative years and to teach some life skill and some life principle. And you know, we don't really know Jesus yet, because this ministry is just getting started. But Mary has been around for a minute. And even though the wine has run out, she refused to believe that the party was over. And it ultimately is the power of what Mary did in this moment that made the difference. Because instead of believing the party was over, she started looking to Jesus to help meet the need. See, that's good teaching for someone, because we see the circumstance, we see the challenge, we see what is ending, we see what is missing, and we scramble. We look everywhere. We turn everything in our lives upside down trying to find the answer. And what we need to do is run to where Jesus is. This is the best counseling you can ever get. This is the best therapy that you can ever get. When life is falling apart, don't fall with it. Run to where Jesus is. There are books that have hundreds of pages trying to tell you the same thing I just said in just one statement. Run to Jesus. You say, but Pastor Darrell, my situation is so much more complex. I understand that. I'm saying run to Jesus with understanding that life gets really complex and circumstances really are challenging and the devil is always in the details. And I'm someone who has listened and heard and counseled and helped steer people through many, many details. I'm somebody who's walked through many, many details. But the answer is always Jesus. The miracle is always in Jesus. I'm not saying don't read the book. I'm not saying don't go to the therapy. Get every tool that you can get, but whatever you do, stay close to an altar, because if I need a miracle, that is where my miracle is, and he's waiting to pour it out on my life. I believe that with all of my heart. Mary said, no, this party's not over. I just need Jesus to get involved in this situation, because the party isn't over. The life isn't over. My happiness isn't over. My joy isn't over until God says it's over. And I'm looking for a miracle. And the Bible literally says that they ran out of wine in verse 3. And the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Leave it to a mother to state the obvious to her kid. Jesus said to her, almost smartly, leave it to a kid to answer their mother. Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? Mine hour has not come yet. It's not time for me to be introduced yet. It's not time for them to know who I am yet. It's not time for it to be revealed to them yet. But sometimes mama knows. Sometimes mama has a keen sense and awareness of what needs to happen. Mary is trying to push Jesus. You know what we need in 2022? You know what we need this Easter? We need somebody to push Jesus. We need somebody just to say, hey, Lord, we're not taking no for an answer. We want this revival. We want this move. We want this breakthrough. We want this healing. We want this miracle. Come on, Jesus. This is as good an hour as any hour. This is as good a Sunday as any Sunday. We don't even have to wait until April 17th. Somebody could get Easter saved right here on April the 3rd. We don't even have to wait. We don't have to wait till that special. It could happen today. Oh, I don't know who's going to get what they need today, but I believe somebody's going to. And Mary tells the servants, hey, while he's thinking about it, I want you just to get ready to do whatever he tells you to do. And it's literally based on her faith and their obedience that Jesus does a miracle. Name me two other ingredients that are absolutely imperative to every miracle. It's faith and it's obedience. If somebody has faith and somebody is willing to obey what Jesus says, there is going to be a miracle. It's always time for a miracle. If you have faith for the future, then it results in obedience today. And I know sometimes we don't realize that our words and our actions become a self-fulfilling prophecy. Because we start speaking out of our doubts and speaking out of our fears, and we start acting on the words and thoughts that have been dominating our lives. Well, everyone else gets miracles but me. Everyone else gets a blessing but me. And then when I don't get a miracle and I don't get a blessing and I'm watching everyone else get it, who am I mad at? Who am I frustrated with? Who am I talking about? It's never me. It couldn't have anything to do with me. But the truth is, I prophesied and it came true in my life. Is anybody getting this word today? I'm not going to prophesy doom on myself. I refuse to stand at a gas pump and say, I can't afford you. I refuse to push a cart in the grocery store aisle and say, well, I guess I'm going to go hungry. Listen, Pastor Darrell will not go hungry. Y'all hear me? He'll be selling all kind of stuff out on the road, but he will not go hungry. I refuse to prophesy the negativity into my life because I'm close to where Jesus is, which means there's always the chance, there's always the possibility, there is even the probability that he is going to come through for me. How do you know that? Because he's done it so many times in my life. I take you all the way back to David, who said, I've never seen his children begging bread. All I've ever seen is the righteous. All I've ever seen are the saved being blessed. Somebody ought to make up in your mind that you're not going the way of the world. You're going the way of the word. You're not going the way of negativity. You're going the way of the miraculous. Pump that gas and speak in tongues while you do it. Shop those groceries and declare, I'm the head and not the tail. I am claiming my miracle in Jesus' name. Because it's always time for a miracle. But you see, when the wine runs out, let this sermon time run out. When the wine runs out, it's an opportunity for fear and even anger to step in. Because our faith cannot rest on our circumstances. Our faith has to rest in God and not the circumstances of our lives. So Jesus tells the servants to fill the stone pots with water. There were six of them close by. Everything that you need for God to do a miracle is already close by. I don't want you to miss that. You need a miracle, and there so happens to be six 30-gallon pots. They're right there within reach. What Jesus wants to use to bring about your miracle, it's already in your possession. It's already there. You already own it. You already have it. It's already in your life. You just got to be willing to use what you've got. Stop thinking something else is coming. Stop thinking someone else is coming. Stop thinking that it's going to arrive in the mail. I already possess what he wants to use, because God will take what you have. He can take who you are and do what you never dreamed possible. You're waiting for some sort of personality transplant, and he's saying, I'm going to use the personality you have. You're waiting on some knowledge transfer, and he's saying, I'm going to use the knowledge that you already have. That doesn't mean I'm not going to grow it. That doesn't mean I'm not going to mature it, but I'm going to use what you already possess. I don't have but a dollar to my name. Then he'll use the dollar to turn you into a millionaire. He can do whatever he needs to do with what you already have in your life. Is anybody hearing what I'm preaching today? Feel like somebody should have already run around this building once or twice. He'll use what you've got. But if I live life focused on what I do not have, no, I've got to live life believing God can take what I have and make a miracle out of it. I want you to get this picture of faith. They can come because I'm landing this plane, but get this picture of faith. The servants began to pour water into the water pots. Hear me. Faith. I'm going to tell you what faith is. Faith is pouring water when you need wine. Faith is pouring water when you need wine. You see, God does the miracle, but we are partners in the process. God does miracles, but we partner in the process. What do you mean? That means we serve, we reach, we invite, we tithe, we pray, we fill water pots. We fill water pots, and we believe that water becomes wine. Not just wine, the good stuff. The good stuff. There's so many angles and so many ways to see this text this morning, and I want to make sure that you catch all of them and you see it from every side and from every angle, because it would be so easy to think, well, you know, these good old days, and I remember church like this, and I remember moves of God like that, and it's all gone. The good stuff has run out. And he's saying, no, I saved the best for these last days when I knew you would need the extra. When I knew that times would be so hot, when I knew that days would be so long and the challenges would be so great, I saved the good stuff for now. That means the best of my glory, the best of my revival, the best of my miracles. He said, I've got them available right now. Oh God, if we could shift our thinking, if we could change our perspective, if our mind could recalibrate to understand that God has so much he's ready to pour out on us. He's just ready for us to stop fighting and fussing and saying, well, I just don't know if it's possible. I know it's possible, and not only possible, I know it will happen in my life. Why? Because I'm pouring water when I need wine. I'm pouring water in faith when I know I need God to do more. I'm not sitting on a sideline somewhere saying, well, I tell you what, I'm gonna stare at this water, and as soon as it starts changing color, that's when I'll start worshiping. I'm just going to sit over here on the sideline, and Lord, when you get ready to move, you just let me know. He said, faith is pouring wine or pouring water when you need wine. Faith is doing the right things even when the outcome is not there yet. Faith is being consistent and dependable. Faith is being in the right place at the right time, knowing that if I'll continue to pour water, he's going to turn it into wine. Because we pour water and God adds the power. God adds the miracle. God adds the provision. God adds the grace. Anybody love Pastor Tony Suarez being here today? We pour water until it becomes wine. Paul told the church at Corinth, he said, we'll sow and another will water, but God will give the increase. Some of you are stuck doing the same thing over and over because you haven't joined yourself, connected yourself, fitted yourself in a family of believers with people that know how to add to what you're doing. People that know how to enhance what it is that you're doing. People who know how to build line upon line and layer upon layer, precept on precept, until God adds the increase. So what should I do? Keep pouring out faith. Keep pouring hope out of your life. Keep pouring out expectation. Keep pouring out prayer. Keep pouring out praise. God will turn your water into wine. The truth this morning is that there really is no power in my praise, but there is power in the God that I praise. There ultimately is no power in my faith, but there is power in the God that is the object of my faith. And I'll say it this way, there really is no power in my prayer. They're just words. But there is power in the one who hears my prayer, because we are partners in the miracle. We are partners in the miracle. I've come to tell someone to keep pouring water. I've come to tell someone to keep pouring water, because the wine is closer than you think. Don't let the voices of cynicism, doubt, unbelief, or fear cause you to stop pouring. Because in 2022, the measure of your expectation will be the measure of your miracle. And you know what that dude said, the master of the ceremony? He said, hey, usually, this is so crazy to me, usually the good, you start with the good and you end with the bad. But you kept the good for now. He said, I don't know why you did this, but over there in the parentheses, I love the parentheses. The servants who had drawn the water knew. I'm going to tell you, God is going to do things in people's lives all around you. People you work with, people you live next door to, people you are related to, people you school with, people you sports with, people whom you live life with. And things are going to start happening. And they're not going to know why it's happening, but you'll know. Just over there in the parentheses, you'll know it's because I wrote your name on a wall at church. It's because at 11975 Highway 142, your first name was written on a wall. You're talking about your marriage turned around and your money got better and your teenager straightened up and there's peace. There's peace in your life. And I don't know why I'm still wearing the same clothes to work. I'm still driving the same car. I don't know what's different. I know what's different. I'm in the parentheses of your life. I'm praying for you. I've been pouring water when I knew you needed wine. I kept pouring water until things started to turn in your life. My God, I feel him in this room. I kept pouring water until your situation changed, until your dark days became full of light. Who in this room needs wine today? Who needs wine? Who's willing to continue pouring water until God does what he needs to do? I'm going to open the altars in just a moment, but I believe there's someone with every head bowed and every eye closed. There is someone that needs to take this first step. Someone needs to find your water pot. Someone needs to find your tea pitcher. Someone needs to find your milk jug, your cup, whatever you can get your hands on, to say, Lord, I've got to start somewhere. I've got to begin somewhere. I'm tired of pain. I'm tired of crisis. I'm tired of issues. I'm tired of all of the stuff that keeps happening. And what I need is a change in my life. We call it a yes moment. It's that moment that you decide, that you choose, that moment that you say enough is enough. I've got to say yes to Jesus. I'm ready to have an experience with him. How can I do that, Pastor Darrell? Pray with me today. We'll give you an opportunity to respond in just a moment if you want to come to this altar on Miracle Sunday to bring your life, such as it is, to the altar where everything changes. But I dare you to pray with me. Say, Jesus, I can't do this one more day. I can't do this alone. I can't do this my way. I can't do this without you. So today, I invite you to come live in my whole life. I repent of my sin. I'm sorry for all of the stuff that I've done. Today, I receive your grace. Today, I say yes to your mercy. Today, I accept your call, your plan, and your purpose for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we just give God praise today for people? I want you to stand with me across the room. If you prayed that prayer today, on either side of this auditorium, big yes banners, you can pick up a copy of this book, Following Jesus. It's about next steps. It's about what to do from here, where to go from here. What did God just say to me, and what does God want to do in my life? If you're online with us, or if you don't need the physical copy, you can text FOLLOW, FOLLOW, text FOLLOW. If you're online, text FOLLOW to 404-777-4701. You'll get an electronic copy right to your phone, and you can start reading that today. It'll change your life. Being in the presence of God will change your life. Now listen to me. If you're in this room, it's 11:31. I know lunch is coming, but if you need a miracle in your life, doesn't matter what you're facing, it doesn't matter what you've been dealing with, doesn't matter what that need is. It can be addiction, it can be marriage, it can be financial, it can be anything. What do you need from God, I would be so honored to pray with you today. If you need a miracle, I'm inviting you to come. Come into this altar. I promise you, you will not be by yourself, because there are many in this room that need the miracle. Our worship team is going to lead us for a few moments. And if you need a miracle in your life, I'm personally going to pray with every single person that comes to the front today, because I believe on this Miracle Sunday that God has a miracle for you. Can we lift a hand across this room and just praise Him in this house? It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by You. Oh,
it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by You. Surrounded by Your healing,
it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by You.
Surrounded by Your glory,
it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by You.
Surrounded by Your glory,
it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by You.
Oh God,
it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm